Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Not only have the children of God been changed by the power of grace and salvation, we have also been adopted into God's family. The verses that we're looking at reveal several truths about this matter of our adoption into Christ's family, into God's family. The moment that we were saved, we were adopted into the family of God. Human adoption is a wonderful thing. When human parents choose a child to adopt, they do so because they have found a child that they love and they want to be a blessing to. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Humans have been adopting children for thousands of years. In fact, adoption was quite common in the Roman world when the scripture was written. When a Roman citizen adopted a child, certain rules applied that brought great benefit to the one that was being adopted. The word adoption means to place as a son. To place as a son, the picture of adoption, is a beautiful picture of what God does for the repentant sinner, the one that comes to Christ. In the ancient world, the family was based on a Roman law that was called the father's power. The father's power. The Lord gave the law, gave the father absolute authority over his children so long as the father lived. He could work, enslave, sell, and if he wished, he could pronounce the death penalty. Regardless of the child's adult age, the father held all power over personal and property rights. Therefore, adoption was a serious matter. Yet it was a common practice to ensure that a family would not become extinct by having no male children. When a child was adopted, three legal steps were taken. The adopted son was adopted permanently. He could not be adopted today and disinherited tomorrow. He became a father. He became a son of the father forever. He was eternally secure as a son. Permanent adoption. The adopted son immediately had all the rights of a legitimate son in the new family, as it says in Romans, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have all the rights that Christ has. Joint heirs, permanent adoption, the rights of a legitimate son, and thirdly, the adopted son completely lost all of his rights in his own family, in his old family. The adopted son was looked upon as a new person, so new that old debts and obligations connected with his former family were canceled out and abolished as if they never existed. The scripture says, "Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. The old has passed away." You've been adopted. You're looked upon as a new person. A new person. You're looked upon now as a child of God. Romans 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." Hallelujah. "By whom we cry out, Abba, Father." by whom we cry, Daddy. Daddy, that's what Abba means, intimate, father, relationship with the Father. Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God the Father, He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance, of the adoption, adopted permanently, adopted immediately with all rights, and adopted that we completely lose all rights in our old family. You're no longer who you used to be. We were removed from our old family and placed in Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, many of us don't believe that. For we still see at work in this body of death that we still walk around in. We still see temptation. We still see lust. We still see ourselves falling into sin at times. And we say, how can that be if I was taken out of one family and put into another family? We fail to realize that we were removed from the death and the darkness of our past. And we're reborn into the family and the kingdom of God. So now, in Christ, we are the sons of God. Sons of God. What a statement. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved. I notice the Apostle John calling it beloved. Now we are children of God. Notice now. When John wrote that, now. When we read that today, now, not going to be, you are. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. How glorious is that? For His glory, God, He's going to change us. God is going to change us into an image of Jesus Christ. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Can you imagine that? You who stumble around, fall, get knocked down, get back up, get knocked down one little bit, fall a little bit, fall into sin, have victory, overcome, then defeated, up and down, all around. It hasn't been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. We shall be like Jesus Christ. For we shall see Him as He is. What glorious news is that? If that ain't good news, I don't know what in the world is. There's no greater news than that. That the God-man, we shall be like Him one day. One day. Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. There you got the Trinity right there, the Spirit, His Son, crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God, through Christ. You want some gospel news? There's some gospel news for you. Meditate on these verses that you're hearing today. Get this deep down into your soul. And this standing that you have, you're going to have now and throughout all eternity. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of your own flesh that says God will get rid of you someday. He'll disinherit you. He doesn't disinherit none of His children. You have all the rights of a legitimate son, and you've lost all rights in your old family. Behold, all things have become new. Let's look at verse 5 in our text, in Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption. predestined us. God predestined us onto the adoption of children. That word predestinated, that bothers a lot of people. But it shouldn't. It shouldn't cause us concern. On the contrary, it should fill our hearts with praise. That word means to foreordain, to decide beforehand, to predetermine. I mentioned in a couple of teachings ago about election. Election has to do with God's choice of some for salvation and eternity past. Predestination has to do with God's work and time to bring us to faith in Christ. Election determined who would be saved. Predestination determined that all those who would be saved would be adopted into God's family as his children. The ultimate goal of predestination is God taking lost sinners, saving them by his grace, and making them like his son Jesus Christ. God has determined to surround himself with sons and daughters. He has determined that he would fill his family with a redeemed people that would be conformed to the image of his son. That's the promise in Romans 8:28 that you hear many people quote all the time, but they never get around to the reason why. Romans 8:28-30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And most people, they just stop there. They quote a part of the verse. They got it taped on their refrigerator, taped in their bedroom, taped up in their car. We know all things work together for good to those who love God. And that's it. To those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he formed them, he also predestinated, notice, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's why all things are working together for good. Not that all things are good by any stretch of the imagination. Not at all. Not at all. As I continue in that verse in Romans, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. A redeemed people conformed to the image of his son. God also determined that he would claim for his son a perfect, holy, and a redeemed bride, in whom there is no spot, and in whom there is no blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, so that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And as I mentioned in a previous study, without blemish has to do with the lambs. They had to be without blemish, perfect, to be sacrificed. God was at work before you were born to see to it that you would cross paths with the gospel at the precise moment when you would be ready to hear it, that you would repent of your sins and embrace Jesus Christ for your salvation. Realize this, especially if you're somebody that has been heartbroken, have had a tough go of it. Listen very carefully. Every event in our lives, up to the moment that we were saved, God was working to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. Heavy hurt, heavy heartbreak, heavy move, every miracle, every valley, every victory, every broken promise, every shattered dream, everything that took place in life was God placing us sovereignly, precisely, perfectly, so that we would hear the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, be saved by his grace, and become a child of God. That is what was predestinated. God has used everything that has ever taken place. All the good, the bad, and the ugly. And every one of us have it. Some have it more. Some have it less. But it's been all used by God to bring you to salvation. The only place adoption could occur was by Christ. He had to bring you to Christ. When the Son gave his life to redeem his bride from her bondage to sin, the door was open for us to be adopted by the Father. Salvation is possible because of what the Son has done for us on Calvary. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You talk about love. The death of Christ on the cross made our adoption by the Father a reality. The reason for our adoption as sons is twofold. First, God predestined us to adoption of children in love, according to verse 4 of our text in Ephesians. God loved us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He simply loved us. He simply loved us because he chose to love us. It was his choice, not our choice. We were his enemies. We were running. We were without strength. We were powerless. But yet in Jeremiah 31:3 it says this: the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. That's why you're a child of God. Because he loved you with an everlasting love. He elected to love you that way. Then predestined all the events in your life to take place that he would use to draw you to Jesus Christ. His love for us was so great that he gave his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe would not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice, while we were still sinners, not when we got our act together, not when we cleaned ourselves up, made ourselves acceptable, waited for us to die and weighed our life all out. That's what religion teaches. That's not what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches that you were his enemy, you were powerless, you was without strength, you was ungodly. And he came to you. He elected you unto salvation. He granted you faith and repentance. And that's the reason why that you came to Christ, because he granted it to you. He gave you faith and grace. And that's why you came. Even when we were trapped in the darkness and the deadness of our sins, God loved us. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4, a glorious section of Scripture. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people ain't coming up from the grave on their own. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. See, that's your old life. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. among whom also we all, notice, that's brothers and sisters, and you who would be listening today, that is not a child of God. That's one thing we have all in common, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, but fell in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And God has taken you out of that, brothers and sisters. If you would just get that in your heart, you would fall in love with the Father. You wouldn't look at Christianity as ho-hum, another day, another Sunday in church, I punch the clock and I do my time. You would fall in love with the Father. You would fall in love with Christ. You would fall in love with the Holy Spirit when you realize what the Trinity did for you. That you were a child of wrath. And now you're a child of God. A child of God. What a glorious statement. Taken from the kingdom of darkness and translated, transferred into the king, in the kingdom of his beloved son. What glorious good news. And the reason for it all, it tells us in our text. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, notice, according to the good pleasure of his will. God chose us, redeemed us, adopted us for no other reason than that it pleased him to do so. There was and is nothing in any of us that would cause God to shed his grace and his love on us. He did everything he did for us in spite of who and what we are. And thank God that he did everything he did just because it brought him pleasure. He did what he did because doing it the way he did it brought him the most glory. He did what he did because he simply loved us. For no other reason than he chose to. Because it was the good pleasure of his will to do so. If you are, brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, this should cause great rejoicing in your life. This could cause you to fall down and worship the King of Kings in a way that you've never had before. And if you're listening today and you know nothing of what I'm speaking about, you hear all of this talk, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. You stumbled onto this message somehow, somewhere in this world. Well, as I mentioned earlier, all of the pain, all of the heartache, all the disasters, all the good, the bad, and the ugly has led up to this time. You're listening to this today because today, the scripture says, is the day of salvation. So, based on the scripture, I would exhort you to come to Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will, come, and you shall be saved. He will in no wise cast anyone out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. He will not turn away anyone. If you simply come, you will be received into the kingdom. And you will be adopted as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. I invite you today to come. And child of God, I would invite you today to sing praises to God, for he is good.